heartfelt welcome to all of you, from the youngest clear to the oldest. You know, I am thankful that you decided you wanted to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. I'm thankful for that. You know what? I praise God for that, and I thank Him for that. Tell you what, I'm going to be over in the book of James, the first chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. We'll read the rest of the chapter out. James 1, 21 down through 27. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come thanksgiving in my heart again, Lord, for the opportunity that I have to stand before You, Lord. I want to praise You, Lord. I want to thank You for all that You do and give for us, Lord Jesus. I want to thank You for the opportunity to stand behind this desk this morning, and I pray, Father, that You would help me, Lord, that You would give me the wisdom, Lord, that You would take and use me, Lord, for the upbuilding of Your kingdom and for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. Amen. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. You know what? The Bible is full of great facts. Or should I say, the Bible is full of great truths. Amen? I believe that wholeheartedly. The Bible is full of it. But these truths will do us no good if we just read them and don't receive them into our hearts. You know, you can read the Bible through, like I've said, and if you do not let them come into your heart and take a hold, all that you read is not going to do you any good. It just will not do that. To have the facts is not enough. To have them is not enough. That's just not it. You know, you may say that I know the plan of salvation. You may say that. And so people say, I know the plan of salvation. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know something. That those that know the Bible say about the plan of salvation, they probably could quote it word for word. The Roman way. We've all seen the literature. We've all seen the stuff about the plan of salvation. There are people who could quote it word for word. But you know what? Just still quoting it and still doing it, you know what? That person could still end up in a devil's hell if they do not receive that word into their hearts. Amen? I believe that. You're not saved by the plan of salvation. Do you understand that? You're saved by the man of salvation. And that man is Jesus Christ. The plan of salvation could be all over the place. But if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, just reading about it is not going to do you any good. We've got to have Jesus Christ into our hearts. Amen. We've got to have that. And His name, too many today, too many people today, they know the theology. They know it. There's a lot of people know the theology, but they've never received the truth of that theology into their hearts. They've never done it. Some may agree with this statement and some may not. And I want to say this and praise God for this. You know what? You could carry a Bible under your arm and go to church all your life and still go straight to hell if you do not receive the gifted word into your life. Amen? There are people, I believe, that go to church all the time. They read the word and maybe go a lot, maybe go every Sunday, maybe go every Wednesday. And yeah, like I said, you may agree with this and you may not. There are still people like that who are going to split hell wide open one of these days because they have not received the truth of the word of God into their hearts. They have not done it. They know it. They see it, but they have not received it. And it's one thing to have facts about Jesus, and it's quite another to know Him as your personal Savior. And I'll tell you what, I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that He is a personal Savior, God to us. You know what? He did not send His Son to die upon a cross that we could not know Him personally. He did not do that. I want you to know, I know Jesus, and I'm not standing here bragging, but I know Him as a personal Savior in my life. I know Him. And I am not selfish in this. I want you to know that you could know Him as your personal Savior this morning also. It's not just for me. It's not just for anybody else beside of you. It's for everyone. For God so loved the world that anyone that wants Him could have Him as their Savior. I pray that we've got to know Him. We've got to receive that word whenever we hear it and put it into our hearts and let it sink in there. You know what? And quote it. It's one thing to hear or just to read the Word of God. It's quite another to welcome the Word of God into our hearts when we hear it and we read it. What do you do with the Word of God when you hear it? What do you do with it? What does any of us do with it? I tell you, I love listening to preaching. I love listening to teaching. I love reading the Word of God. But you know what? If I do not let the Word of God sink into my heart and into my soul, it's just me reading a book. I could read any book, War and Peace or whatever it may be. I could read any book. But you know what? The Word of God is different. The Word of God is alive. It's real. No matter what they want to tell you, no matter what they want to say, I want you to understand this morning. The Word of God is totally alive and is totally real in our lives. It should be. Know what James 1:21 tells us. It's telling us to receive the Word, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted Word. That's talking about the Word that gets into our soul. That's talking about that word as a little seed when it's planted into you. Now, all you gardeners know that when you peel them seeds out, they look like they're dead. But when you put them in the ground, those things start to grow, do they not? You know, for the most, they will grow. And praise God, if the Word of God gets into our hearts and into our souls, I'll tell you, it will grow. It will become so much a part of us. Praise God. We won't know what to do with ourselves when the Word of God gets in there. It's, you know what? No, that's talking about the Word that gets in our soul. It's the implanted Word that's alive. Praise God. That's what it is. How important it is to get this next part right here, which is able to save our souls. Do you see that? The Word of God is able to save our souls. And you know what? Praise God. Well, you may be looking at me and you say, well, preacher, I'm saved. Yes, you're saved. You know what? The book of James was made for saved people. Do you understand that? That's what the book of James is talking to, people that are saved. So why is he saying that the Word of God is able to save a person's soul? Well, listen, I believe salvation is broken down into three parts. The first part is like whenever I got on my knees and I got saved and the Spirit of God come in there and He saved me, and praise God, I turned all my sin over, and praise God, I am a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven. One of these days, whenever the Lord either takes me out of here or He takes the church out of here, I'm going to a place where I will never sin no more. Amen? And I'll tell you what I think James is talking about right here, and I believe I can prove my point. He's telling us right now that the Word of God can save us daily. It can lift us up. It can take and bring us back in line where we need to be if we let the Word of God sink in and soak into our souls, and we believe it and believe what the Word of God says. Amen. Saved from the penalty of sin. You can say amen to that. Praise God. It is able to deliver us from the pollution of sin right now. The Word of God is able to do that. Do you believe that this morning? You know what? I believe in my heart that whenever I'm out here and if I do something wrong, I believe the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, will convict my heart. And praise God, when it does that, that Word of God is saving me right now as I speak, as the Spirit is speaking to me and wanting me to get myself right now. Amen? That is what it's wanting to do. The Greek word used here, the Greek word you hear for soul is psyche. And you know what psyche means? It's your mind, it's your emotions, and it's your will. And that's what he means. He's saying the Word of God is able to save your soul. It's able to lift your psyche up. It's able to put you where you need to be. Amen. I'll tell you, the same thought can be found in Psalms 19:7, where it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Amen. You ain't looking at nobody any more simple than me. And praise God, I'm not claiming I know a lot of worldly knowledge, but I know something this morning that it makes me wise, and that is Jesus Christ is still in the saving business. The Word of God can bring you closer each and every day if we're willing to let the Word of God deal with our lives. He can make simple the wise. I want to tell you what. He can make us all wise in the Word of God. Amen? He can do that. Yeah, praise God. Brother, if we could just truly understand the power of this book right here, if we could just truly understand it and to deliver our souls, I'll tell you what, we'd never get our noses out of it, would we not? We would never get our noses out of it. Let me give you a personal testimony. Let me tell you this right now. And I don't want to say it. You know what keeps me going from day to day? You know what does that? And I believe if you're a Christian, you know just exactly what I'm talking about. It's not all the feelings. And praise God, I love to feel the Spirit of God. I do. And all of us would love to feel the Spirit of God in our lives. We have to feel that. But you know what? If I went totally on my emotions day in and day out, there'd be times I'd be so low that I wouldn't want to function. There'd be times when I was so high, I prayed God for those times. But you know what? I don't go totally on emotions. I go by reading the Word of God and what it tells me on a daily basis, and whenever I do that, that's what keeps Dave Long going. Amen? Amen? That's what should keep it. I don't always get my charge or my impetus from my feelings that I have. If I did that, there'd be times, like I told you, be sometimes in my life, I'd feel so low that I wouldn't even want to function. But that's not the way God wants us to do. Friends, I've found it to be victorious for Christian walk that I stay in the Word of God. If I want to be victorious in my Christian walk, I have to stay in the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to me. Let it come into my life, listen to it, and read it. And I'll tell you what, I believe it. There's no other way I can underscore it. There's no other way I can emphasize it to you better than to tell you we need to read the Word of God. We need to get our noses in the Bible. Every one of us do that. Friends, you know, there's no other way. The reason many are anemic in our churches today is, you know what? They want to depend on the preacher preaching to them. They want to depend on people teaching them. They want to depend on everything else out here in the world except for them getting into the Word of God and trying to figure it out and let the Holy Spirit show them what's right and wrong. Amen? That's why there's so much anemic churches out here today. That's why there's so much anemic Christians out here in the world today. That's what James was trying to tell him. He said, listen. He said, listen, you've got to get into the Word. He's trying to tell him. I'll get into a little bit more of what he told him there. There's no way that you're going to be victorious apart from receiving the Word of God into your heart. Amen? There's no way that any of us can be victorious in this life we live in unless we let the Word of God come into our heart and saturate our hearts, our souls, and our minds. Amen? That's the reason, which is able to deliver our psyche, our minds, our hearts, our souls. That's what it's able to do. Now look at the word receive. Look at the word receive, whatever it says. The Greek word used here for receive is called dekamia. Remember that. It's called dekamia. And you know what this means? It is a physician's term, which means wax in the ear. That's what it boils down to. It means you got wax in your ear. And what he tells me, he said, folks, to receive the Word of God in our hearts, and he's talking about we need to clear out the things in our spiritual ears that are plugging it up and keeping us from receiving the Word of God in our life. That's what James is trying to say. You know what? Praise God. I tell you what, I am so thankful. I am so thankful that the Word of God comes, and if I get my spiritual ears open and I get all the junk out of the way that's plugging it, that I could hear the Word of God, I could understand the Word of God, and you know what? I could grow in the Word of God. Amen? Let me tell you what, we could do that. I thank God for that opportunity. Listen, folks, it's heartfelt and it's opened what we need. It means, folks, we have to get that stuff out of our lives. We have to do that. There's no other way. It has to be heartfelt. Open your heart and welcome the Word in. Whenever you receive something into your life, I want to ask you this question right now. Whenever he's talking about receive here, if you had a friend come over to your house and you invited them in and you hardly paid attention to what they were saying and you didn't make them feel welcome or anything like that, how long do you think they'd be friends, number one? And how long do you figure they'd stay around? Not very long, right? You know what? Whenever the Word of God comes, whenever we have to receive it, it's what it's talking about. Like it was so, it's just like an old friend. We get the Word of God in there. And the Word, we don't let the Word of God sink into our lives. How long do you figure that God's going to show us and be willing to deal with us on His Word? It ain't going to be very long, right? That's what he's talking about here. That's Sally. They received the word of God. Yes, they read it. They can quote scripture verbatim. They can do it. A lot of people do it. But they have never really let it sink into their hearts. Not at all. I'll tell you what, that's very sad, I think. Very sad. Man, very sad. It says, welcome the word with repentance. A guest is coming over again and to visit. And the first thing we must do is clean the house, right? You know what? I know this for a fact. My wife did. She said, we got people coming over or something like that. I said, well, we need to clean the house. Our house, and she tries to keep the house up. So don't get me wrong. She's probably going to think you're bad. But she said, we need to clean it up more. We need to get it cleaned. And you know what? How many of us would do the same thing if we have people coming over? We want to clean the house up, right? We want to do that. You know, the same can be said for the word of God to dwell in us, abound in all fruit. Look at James 1:20. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And again, listen, I got ahead of myself a little bit ago, but it says, take a close look at the word, which means wax in the ear. That's what I want to talk about right here. That filthiness. You see, there are certain things in our spiritual ears that need removed, and that's that filthiness. That's that filthiness that needs removed before we can do what God wants to do. God keeps trying to talk to us, and you know what we keep saying? Huh? Huh? What? That's exactly what James is talking about right here. That's what he's saying. We're talking about that filthiness that's in our ears. You know what? We let so much junk outside of ourselves cloud it that God can't get his word into us because we are constantly bombarded with everything else in this world, are we not? Amen. He said, you see, the word filthiness means here, which stops up the ears and keeps us from hearing. That's what filthiness means. That's what he's trying to say. James 1:9, therefore, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. But the reason we don't hear, there's too much trash in the way, and we cannot get into it. You know, superfluity of naughtiness means that which remains. That which remains. You know what? There's so many people that after they're saved, they let their former lives hang around too much. They let the things that they got out of, they let it hang around too much. And you know what? The Word of God can't get in because they're constantly bombarded with this other thing and they're trying to reach back and get a hold of something. If we're not careful, we don't clean out our spiritual ears and let the past struggles be gone and get them away from us, we can be just like it was over in Matthew. And I'm going to read that over Matthew. It says over here, Matthew 13:3-9. It says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And who has ears to hear, let him hear. Brothers, if we don't get our spiritual ears cleared out to where we start listening to God more, if we keep letting these old things hang around from the past in our lives, you know what? It'd be just like he's talking about there. You know what? Some fell upon this in thorns. And wherever they sprung up, the thorns choked them out. They ended up going back the other way. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, that's what he's trying to tell us. If you want the Bible to talk to you, listen again to what James said. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I'll tell you something else we've got to do too. We have to receive the word with readiness whenever the word comes. We have to be willing to accept it. You know what? When it's talking about seeking meekness, you know what meekness means? Meekness is a compliant spirit. That's what it's talking about. That's what I said. The reason some don't get anything from the Bible, they don't have a meek spirit. They don't have any. Meekness does not mean weakness. So many people think that meekness means that, but it does not mean that. It doesn't mean that. If you look at Moses, what Moses over in Numbers 12:3 tells us that Moses was one of the meekest men on the earth. That's what it tells us. If you read it, that's what it says. But was Moses a weak leader? Was he weak? Do you think he was? No. I believe Moses was a very powerful figure. He was a leader of God's people. And the Bible doesn't show me anywhere where he was weak. The Bible said, though, he was meek. But Moses had meek. Meekness means teachability. Meekness means trainability. And meekness means controllability. You see, the reason some can't grow in God's word and in his spirit, they're stubborn and their pride won't let them do it. Amen. Amen? They just won't let them do it. Are you teachable? There's too many folks out there today. There's too many of them. You know what? They want the Word of God. They look at the Word of God like this. The Word of God says A, B, and C. And you know what they do? They say, I agree with A. B, I'm not real sure of. I really don't agree with that. And C, yeah, it's probably okay. And you know what God's telling us? You know what He's saying? You know what? Too many of them want to say that they want the Word of God to agree with them. I'm going to tell you right now, the Word of God does not have to agree with you. You have to get in line with the Word of God. That's where meekness comes in. That's where the trainability comes in. That's where the controllability comes in. Praise God. Whenever we have a meek spirit about us, we're willing to let the Word of God receive it into our hearts and praise God, let it direct our paths. And we don't try to make the Word of God fit our lives. We make our lives fit the Word of God. Amen. So we do that. You must receive it in meekness, ready to do the will of God. And if you are not ready to do that, you'll never get nothing out of this Bible. You'll never get nothing out of the Word of God. You just won't do it unless we receive it in meekness and in humbleness of spirit. Receive the Word. You know, once we receive it like that, we've got to be responsive to the Word of God next. Do we not? We have to be responsive to God's Word. Let's look at James 1:22. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. How terrible and horrible is it? You don't have to raise your hand, but you can think about this. Have you ever been deceived in your life? Have you ever been deceived? I'm sure a lot of us have. I'm sure all of us have been deceived at one time or another in our lives. We've probably been deceived about something. How bad did you feel? How terrible did it make you feel because you were deceived? Well, you know what? Take it one step further. What if you were deceived and you're the one that deceived yourself? How would you feel if you're the one that deceived yourself? Think about that. You know what? You may be saying there, you know what? If you don't respond, if you don't receive the Word when it's presented to you, I want you to understand this statement. You're a fool, and you're just fooling yourself. And you may be sitting back in, you're saying, Preacher, man, that's pretty hard. Preacher, that's, you know what? You shouldn't say it like that. Okay. I'll let Jesus say it then. Matthew 7:26. He said, a man is like a foolish man who hears these words of mine and will not do them. Now, was that any better? That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, talking there. That's not Dave Long. But if we don't listen to the Word of God, if we don't respond to it, whenever God's telling us to respond to the Word of God, we are foolish. And we are fooling ourselves. That's what we're doing. Amen. There are way too many hearers of the Word, not many doers nowadays, unfortunately. You see, we have that. How many of you know what Brill Cream is? Know what Brill Cream was? Raise your hand. I know the younger generation. I don't even know how to explain it. It was in a tube and a little dab will do you. Amen? That's what a lot of people have today as far as their doctrine. A little dab will do it. You know what? I want a little bit of the Word, but I don't want all of it. You don't have to give me all of it. I just want just a little bit enough. You know what? That's not the way God wants. God wants us to have all the Word in our lives. He wants it all. You know what? It's dangerous for any individual to get themselves into that kind of a trap. 1 John 2, 4-5 tells us, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God, perfected, whereby know we that we are in him. Herein lies the true litmus test, brothers and sisters. Here's the true litmus test, whether or not you're receiving God's word into your heart or not. Is your knowledge of the Bible making you more like Christ? Amen or oh my. When you read the Word of God, my Bible tells me to be Christian is to be Christ-like. When we read the Word of God, are you becoming more and more like Him? Or are we not? And that's the true litmus test for it. Look at James 1:23 and 25. These verses are telling us how to be responsive. Look at the word beholdeth in verse 24. You know what beholdeth there means? It means a casual glance is what it means. Verse 24 says there, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. All right, let me ask you a question, men and women. You get up in the morning. Your clothes are a mess. You slept in your clothes, actually, that you worked in the day before. You left your makeup on before you went to bed. Gentlemen, you got a beard or a mustache, and you got food hanging in it from the supper the night before. Oh, I know. That doesn't sound very appealing, does it? All right. Your hair's messed up. You take a glance in the mirror, you go right out the door and go on to work again. Oh, yeah. Oh, my. I get there isn't anybody probably in here that would tell me that they would do something like that. But why do we do that with the Word of God? Why do we do that? He's telling them right here. He said, for we behold himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. What he's telling us, he's looking into the mirror of the Word of God. You're looking into it. You see what's there. You see what needs corrected. And yet you're walking right on by and not even making an effort to correct the problem in your life. Folks, there are Christians in this world today that are doing that. God is talking to them, trying to show them what's wrong in their life and what needs corrected. They hear it. They see the Word of God. And then they go right on by and don't even do anything about it. Tell me that isn't foolish. Tell me that isn't. It isn't. They saw it, and then they forgot it. That's what James is trying to tell us there. And he said, there are too many that do this to God's Word. There is. They hear it at a casual glance. They look at it. And then they go on their way. Now look at verse 25. He goes on to explain a little bit more. But whosoever looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Okay. Well, I tell you, I love the Word of God. I love how it, whenever it tells you something, the very next part, it'll explain to you what needs to be done. So James tells us here in verse 25, and he said, look, but whosoever looketh, the meaning here is a steadfast, careful gazing into the Word. That's what he's telling. There's only found one other place in the Bible. That's over in John 20 and 5. And do you remember when John come running up to the tomb? What did John do? He looked in. And that's what that means there. He looked in steadfastly. He stood there intently, looking to see if he could see the Savior. I said, when we look into the Word of God, we've got to look at it steadfastly. We've got to look at it into the perfect law of liberty. We've got to take it and look at it and let it, when we see it, it's like looking into a mirror and we see all that stuff is wrong with us, we'll correct it. Will we not? We'll correct it before we go out the door. And that's what he's telling us. Before we go out into this world we live in, James is telling us through the Word of God, you know what? Look into the law. Look into the perfect law. Look into this Bible and correct what's needed corrected in your life. He tells us to do it. And you don't like what you see? Be responsive to it. Be responsive to what God's telling you to do. That's all he's asking. Our God is a very gentleman God. You know, he is. He didn't come down and beat you across the head and try to make you do what you don't want to do. But through the Spirit and through the Word of God, he deals with every... I bet you there isn't a person in here that has not been dealt with at some time in their life. You know how God works with you? You know what he tries to do? You know how he does it? Praise God, I want to tell you something this morning. He does the same thing to me. And I'm one of the type of people that believe that if he does it to me, he's going to do it to you. The great truth about Bible study is this. If you want to understand something in God's Word that you don't understand, I'm going to give you some simple little truths right here. And I believe it will help you. First off, much prayer is required. Amen. If you don't understand something in the Bible, much prayer is required about that. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. That's the second thing. You need to let the Holy Spirit show you and guide you and be in much prayer. You know what? I'll tell you something else too. If you want God to bless you in His Word and something you don't understand, do the things that you do understand. Amen? And do them wholeheartedly to the will of God. If you're not going to be faithful in the little things, God's not going to be faithful in His part of it to reveal anything else to you. He don't have to do that. You know what? Look at verse 26 here. It says, if any man among you seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. You want to learn more about the Word of God? Bridle your tongue. Bridle it. God will reveal more to you. God will show you more if you bridle that tongue. He'll do that. Let's go to verse 27. Pure religion is an undefiled before God. And the Father is this, to visit the Father. You know what? You need to be careful and take care of those that are less fortunate sometimes than what we are. And the last thing he tells us in verse 27, if you want to be, if your Bible study, if you want it to increase, your testimony has to be clean. Amen? Amen. What does it say right there? It said, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. James, those whole verses right there, that's what James is talking about, how that we can receive the engrafted Word of God into our hearts if we mind and do what He's trying to tell us to do. The knowledge of God's Word in our life. Praise God. I'll tell you what, I was excited. I was excited getting this message together. I really was. You know why? Not because just only I get to preach it to you, but I get to hear it for my own life. Amen. I tell you what, I'm one of those guys, I don't believe I stand up here and preach just to you, I preach to me. Amen? Amen, I think we did. I tell you what, there's one of you in here, if I had you raise your hand, you wouldn't tell me that you wanted to know more of God's Word in your life. Amen? There isn't one of you. There isn't one of you. I tell you what, we have an altar call now. They come, please.